an exclusive interview with the Aga Khan, his first for some years. And I began by asking him about the role of the new Ismaili Center, which he'd just toured.
I think very important, if you look at the background of the community in Britain, it's a young community, it's a community that has left the developing world, a community that had its own institutions and came to a country in difficult circumstances and had no focal point.
Difficult circumstances, you mean a lot of them came from Uganda, courtesy of President Amin.
That's right. And not only from Uganda, but of course that whole crisis created a psychosis of fear for the immigrant communities in East Africa, and eventually people have left from other parts of East Africa. I think this center here will be a focal point for community programs, etc.
What lies behind its planning, its style?
Oh, it was a very difficult building. First of all, it is in a historical part of London with some very strong architectural buildings around it. Therefore, it had to be a London building. It had to be a building which was appropriate to the mood of our culture, our history. It had to be a building which combined a place of gathering and prayer as well as secular activity. And so it certainly was a difficult building to conceive.
If we could turn to the wider Muslim world, it's a world with a lot of conflict in it now. Mm-hmm. What's your feeling about what is going on in the Middle East between the Muslims in Iraq, Iran, in Lebanon, in Afghanistan?
I think what has happened is that perhaps more than ever before in the history of the Islamic world, there are forces within it and outside which are acting upon it, differences in wealth, interpretations of the faith which are not the same, search for a reinterpretation of society's reactions to things like law, to modern economy, to statehood. And these forces are dividing, and at the same time they are sometimes finding expressions which are not necessarily those which would represent the consensus of Muslim belief.
Now we're seeing the emergence, the rapid emergence of Muslim fundamentalism, the reimposition of the Sharia laws, of public floggings, amputations, hangings and so on. Do you have any sympathy with that?
I think the question is how you interpret the Sharia and whether that interpretation does represent, as I say, consensus or not. And as you know, many Muslim countries have not gone back to the Sharia. Some are applying the Sharia, but not literalistically, and some are applying it literalistically. And I think one has to view this within the overall search of the Islamic world to find answers to modern life.
When we see extremists driving cars full of explosives into Israeli convoys or into the American embassy in Beirut, what are we seeing? Are we seeing an expression, its extreme form of the Muslim faith? Are we seeing a political act?
No, I think you're seeing a political act of people who may come from a cultural or religious background. Unfortunately, in Britain, we all know that this is in no way restricted to the Islamic world. It's a part of, unfortunately, Western Europe also at the present time. And historically, there have been movements which have sought legitimacy by attaching to themselves the name of a culture, the name of a faith. But to me, they are political movements.
What gives you most satisfaction yourself?
Programs in the developing world which have an impact and which help people to live together and improve their quality of life. After all, it represents over 80% of the world's population. And I think that is the thing that I am happiest to see, obviously the development of my own community within that context.
What about being in a Derby winner?
That's a very special personal pleasure, and it's something I inherited accidentally from my family. It took a long time to learn about, and I think the more you're in that field, the less you know.
But do you think there's any resentment amongst your fellows in the Ismaili community that their leaders should be concerning themselves with racehorses and racehorse breeding and so on?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the Ismaili community would resent that the Imam should have a hobby, so long as that doesn't impede his work and doesn't totter in blind drunk after the Derby. I mean,
I'm sure you wouldn't do that, no matter how much you thought about it.